I want to thank all those around the world that are listening. Tonight is our Wednesday night question and answering, and I think we had some questions coming in, and Pastor Tim has the question that came in. So what was that question again that we...
The question was...
Here, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim.
Well, the question that came in was related to who are you and how do we get closer to know God? Well, this week's been a very interesting week, and we are in an identity crisis in not only in America, but all over the world. And what I'm saying about an identity crisis is most people don't know who they are. And it starts at an early age. When you're born into this world, you know, you have your parents or you have adopted parents or what have you, and, you know, you're looking for love. Every single person in this world is looking for love. The issue that we have, though, is there's a song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, because every single person, deep within their spirit, is longing for love, and there's a cry within everyone. It says, Abba, Father. Until we can understand who we are and know who God is in our life, there's a deep cry for love. So with that being said,
because God is love.
God is love, and until we have that knowledge of who God is, we don't know that love. So we're looking into the world for love, and when we're younger, and we're like a young person, there's a lot of times we're looking to fit in. We're looking to become popular with other people and become accepted. But when you become into a relationship with God, you are accepted. And you're accepted by Him. And that's the only one we really need to be accepted by is God. And therefore, when you become accepted by God, you know who you are and you know who He is in your life. And you kind of know exactly what you're supposed to do. It takes out the emptiness, correct. So the reason why I wanted to go into this message tonight, too, was I came across an old friend of mine. I used to run with this certain crowd in high school, and I actually ran into this fella at a shopping mall, and actually a supermarket, and we talked for like an hour, and he was giving me information on these six people that we used to hang with back in the day. Now, what's interesting is out of the six, four people are addicted to meth. It's crystal meth. One of the persons is addicted to heroin. They shoot heroin. And the other person married that person that's addicted to heroin, but they are enabling that person to continue to do it. Now, that's where I come in and say there's an identity crisis. And I feel that when they were younger, everybody used to want to become popular. Everybody wanted to fit into a certain group. So you dress like that person, you act like that person. You actually try things that you normally would say, hey, that's crazy to try that. But you figure, hey, if I try that, they're going to accept me into their group. But when you know who you are in God, you don't have to do those type of things because you don't care. You don't care what people think about you. You're going to fit in with the persons and or the people that God places in your life. It's not like you don't have to seek out that group or that particular person in life and say, hey, you know, I want to fit in with them, because, you know, there's a scripture verse that talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, that's actually trying to see something that you think is popular, you want to get accepted. That's like a lust, you know, and you're gravitating to that because of the lust of the heart. And God's saying, no, I created you perfect. That's one of the scripture verses. God says, I created each and everybody perfect. You're unique. I set you apart. And we don't have to try to fit in with any type of particular group or anybody in this world unless we don't know God, because that means we're trying to look for love. So to make a long story short, I was talking to this person. I'm hearing about all these people that I used to hang with, and it really grieved my spirit to know that these people are stuck in torment. I mean, when you're shooting dope or you're addicted to crystal meth, I mean, the way he's described it, you can't even recognize these people. They look like skeletons. And, you know, I was talking with Pastor Jim this week, and I was telling him about this story, and I was like, you know, I thank God with all my heart that he spared me from going down that path. You know, because God, when he gives you the revelation of who he is and you have that relationship, his hand is upon your life. And, you know, Sam said a scripture verse this week. He said, you know, 5,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but not one arrow will come and hit me. And that's the God's honest truth. When you have a relationship with God and you accept him and develop that relationship with him, he covers you. He protects us. You know, I feel like he protected me from that environment and from that type of lifestyle. And you know what? It would have been so easy if I didn't have that relationship with God to follow down that same path as those other people. I mean, we're talking about people in their mid-40s that don't have a life. You know, their life is wasted right now until they can find a relationship with God. You know, they're struggling. They're in the bottom depths of hell. I mean, that's really where they're at. And, you know, until they come into a relationship with God, that's where they're going to be. And you know what? There's many people out there, even on the internet, that are slipping away. They're lost, and they're being lost into eternity forever and ever because they're not coming out of that state of where they're at. You know, people lose hope. You know, people have turmoil in their life, and they start turning to the dope and these drugs, and it's a shame because it's all a lie. This world does not exist. If you really think about it, the only existence really is yourself. You know, everybody in here, everybody out there is going to fade away except for yourself. Your spirit's going to live on for eternity. And that's all you have to really worry about is yourself, having that peace, joy, and righteousness. We get taught at an early age about these traditions, and we get taught about, hey, you know what? We see all these things on TV, and it's like, man, I just want to be like this person. He's a rapper, or I want to be like this sports person, or I want to be like this model. And there's this fictitious facade that comes up, and people are taught, and they're desiring to want to be like that and emulate that in their life, and it's all a facade. It doesn't exist, you know, because why? They want to be loved. They want to fit in with somebody. They want to know that, hey, you know what? People respect me, or they want to be around me. Well, they want to be around you for who you are. If you're fake and you're phony and you're trying to emulate somebody else, look, I can pick up on that. I know when people are phony or fake and they're not acting themselves. I don't even want to be around them. Because you know what? God wants every single person to be transparent. I mean, when you're talking with somebody, do you want them to share everything about themselves and you want to share everything about yourself and not hide anything? Well, the whole world puts up a wall. And they give you a little bit here and a little bit there, but they never get to the deep core of who they are. You know, and we develop these relationships with people and we're only learning maybe 30% of who they are. Because they have this fake realm, this fake wall up, and we don't know really who that person is. And I want to get to know each and every person. You know, there's a scripture verse where God says, test all the spirits. Because look, every single person is a spirit made up with a shell body. This body, look, when we die, this body's going to fall to the ground, but our spirit's going to live on. And God says, test all the spirits. Because there's good spirits, which are transparent, and there's demonic spirits that They'll give you an illusion. They'll be phony. They'll have all these different things that throw you off because they don't want to be exposed. Amen. Demons don't want to be exposed. They'll lie to you. They'll throw things out there that you'll think, okay, you know what? That might be real, but it's really not, because they want to be in hiding. No demon wants to be exposed. But to go back to my other point, which is, you know, God knows every hair on our head. He knows who you are, and he's chosen each and every one of us that are here and people that are listening. He's chosen you. He wants to have that relationship with you. It's a matter of saying yes and a matter of having faith to believe that he lives and dwells inside of you. You don't have to look for love anywhere else, but look for love from God. Because God is love, like Pastor said. And when you can find true love, because, you know, his love is unconditional. When we're in the world, we only find conditional love. You know, like if you're running with a certain crowd, you know, you're drinking, whatever you're doing, add a beer out of here. I mean, that's the saying that we always laugh about. And it's the truth. When I was talking to this guy at the supermarket, I was like, look, these guys don't want any parts of you. They're going to use you, they're going to abuse you, and they're going to use you again. And when you're out of beer, you're out of here. And he's like, you know what? That's true. That's the way these people are. And God's saying, look, if you know who you are, you're not going to run with that crowd because you don't care. You're not trying to emulate anybody but yourself. Because everybody in here and out there is unique. He's created each and every one of us as an individual, and he doesn't want us to change who we are. You know, how many people like a certain thing, but because they want their friends to like them, they don't really even share what they like, so they kind of like what the other person likes, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what, I really don't like doing this, or like, you know, like that, what they're offering me. But you do it anyways because you're trying to fit in. I mean, I think all of us, even on the internet, has been there before. And I feel like you need to be true to yourself, because in the end, we need peace, joy, and righteousness in our life. And there's a lot of things that we do, if we're not being honest with ourselves, we're doing them out of vanity and out of spite, to the point where it's not bringing us joy and it's not bringing us peace. And we're kind of just doing it out of an obligation, and we're doing it just to fit in. And God's saying, look, forget that. Don't do that anymore. Do what I put on your heart. You know, there's a lot of things that are within each and every one of our hearts that we like to do, and God placed them there. He says, I give you the desires of your heart. So the desires that are within you are from God. We need to find out what those desires and those hopes and those dreams are, and we need to follow them. We need to exercise them. We need to do things that are going to make us happy with joy and the peace. You know, I'm not telling you that you need to go out and disobey your heart if there's a conviction there. What I'm talking about is, if there's something that you enjoy doing and there's no conviction to change from it, do it. Why change for because somebody else, it makes them happy? You need to find happiness for yourself. You know, life is very short. And if we can't find the life now, we're not going to find the life in the afterlife. Because God wants us to build the life here. Because he's already created it. We're all predestined. We're all predestined with a plan that he placed inside of us. And if we can't find that life, we're never going to have one. You know, I was telling my wife the other day, I don't want to leave this world in torment. And we were talking about hell. Everybody thinks we were brought up traditional-wise in the church was always talking about hell as a burning place, there's fire and all. Look, my total belief in this, and this is my opinion is it's a dark place where you have no knowledge. You're in a place where you're far away from God and you can't change. You can't take things back. It's like you're stuck. And it goes on and on and on. It's kind of like watching a movie that you hate, and you're constantly watching it over and over, and you can't change the channel. That's what I believe hell is. I believe it's just you can't change. There's no more changing. It's like you're stuck. And you know what? I don't want to be stuck here on earth. You know, I want to change now, and I want to conform to who God made me. You know, because I know inside of me, God made me perfect, and there's a lot of things that he created in me that need to come out. Just like in each and every one of us, there's creativity that God put in us that needs to come out, and we're kind of not allowing it to manifest because of maybe previous things that went on in our life where it's kind of muzzled us, you know, and we need to let it out. We need to express ourselves. I think a lot of times people don't express who they are and express their feelings because maybe they're afraid that somebody might kid them or not receive them, or they might make fun of who they are. But you know what? God's saying, don't worry about that. Forget about that. Be who you are, who I created you. Because you're created in His image. He put that image within us because He lives and dwells with us. It's called Christ. It's a divine nature. And all of us have it. You know, the old saying in the church was, you need to come up to an altar call. You need to receive Jesus into your heart. You know, and we go on and on and on. It's a bunch of baloney because every single person in this world has Christ. The problem is they don't have a knowledge that they have Christ, and they don't have a knowledge that God lives and dwells within them. That's the biggest issue, and it's our job as a ministry at GTTN is to teach this and spread the word out there so that you can receive this life and develop a relationship with God. That's the only reason why we're here, and we're out here on a Wednesday night and on a Sunday, is to bring this truth to the whole entire world so you can have a relationship with God. That's all we care about. You know, and that's what we always say. We want to save souls. How are we saving it? Because we're bringing a revelation knowledge of God into your life so you can receive it and you have a solid foundational truth of who God is and His love in your life. And you have that relationship. And once you have that relationship, you can never go back. You can never go back to the same pit that you were in before. You know, I feel if you don't have the truth and you don't have a relationship with God, that's where people fall short. They try and get away from their habits. They try to get away from circumstances in their life. And it happens for a little while, and all of a sudden, that eager feeling that's within them overtakes them again, and they fall back into the pit. But when you have a true relationship with God and you know His love, you don't fall back. I mean, I truly believe that because there's a revelation and a reverence, fear of God. There's a conviction there that says, you know what? I can't go back to that. I know the truth now, and it's way far better beyond where I was before. I can't go back to the old self. I just can't do it. And I believe everybody here in this ministry, and there's people listening out there that need to hear this, because God doesn't want us to go back to that. He wants us to go forward because He's got a future prepared for every one of us. And He knows that if we continue to walk by faith, we're going to see miracle signs and wonders in our life that are going to happen. Pastor Jim and I were talking about it this week. There's miracle signs and wonders that have happened in his life that he and I rejoiced about this whole week. And you know what? It's because he's trusting God. He's putting his whole faith and his entire being into the truth. And he's seeing miracles happen in his life. But he has a revelation of it. If he didn't know that truth, we wouldn't see it. He wouldn't see it. So I'm going to pass this over to Pastor because I know he's got something to elaborate on it. And, you know, all I can say is, look, if you're trying to fit in the world with people around you and stuff like that, get rid of those influences in your life. Get rid of it. You don't need it. What you need is you need to develop a trust and a faith and relationship with God because you'll see His love and you'll see it manifest if you trust Him. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Tim. You know, I'm very grateful for that question that came in and how you're answering it. And this is why we teach what we teach here. Like you said before, you know, to get people into a relationship with God so that they can come out of their pit, so to say. You know, we all are searching. We're all empty. We're all looking to be filled. That filling is love. God is love. To make it a simple way, we don't know God. You know, who is he? He has no form. He has no, you know, there's nothing that you can refer to other than his attributes and the things that he does into your life. When God does something special and he answers your prayer, that's how we know him. And he knows the desires of your heart. And when the desires of your heart are filled, it's like him talking to you. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And he's like, you're welcome. You know, here it is. We want to build that relationship up. You know, religion, they can't do it. We can do it here by showing you the way. You know, once you have this emptiness that we're born in, because we are born in an emptiness, our children receive love from their parents, and we fill that emptiness up in the natural, and that is good for a period of time until they fly out of the nest. And a lot of times, if they didn't get the love on the parent side, that's when the pit starts. But at the same time, you know, we try to fill that void as parents for our children. And then as they grow, then it's very important that they begin to know God, so that that void is transferred over from the parent to the spirit, because that person's going to have to walk on their own. They're going to have to make decisions on their own. They're going to have to pretty much be alone, so to say, and until they start finding, you know, a mate, and then you bring your wife or husband into it, and you know, they help. But the main thing is the ultimate void filled is with God. And you cannot have a life without God. I've said this before in the past, you cannot have a life without God. The fulfillment is him, and the more that you have this relationship built, you have a bolder and a confidence of knowing who you are, and then your identity begins to be formed. No one can really tell you. No one can really say anything to persuade you. You're a rock. And this is where we are at, trying to bring this truth to set you free and bring salvation into your life. Not a rule book of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, as Pastor Tim was telling you earlier, that we have an identity, and that identity of desires have been given to us, and everything is good. You know, the church won't agree with that. They'll say, oh, you're not married, or you're married out of wedlock, or whatever they'll do, you know. Yeah, wicked, deceivingly wicked. But, you know, we here at Glory to the Nations don't agree with the laws of religion, so to say. We agree with the law that is written on your heart by our true Creator. And that's the law that we should be understanding, and that's the law that we should be following. If your heart is moving and you have a passion, you know, all we can say is, great, let's go for it, and encourage you in that direction. You know, there's been individuals that came to me and said, you know, Pastor, there are, you know as well as I do, because it's in the Bible, that there are some things that are just an abomination to God, and you're saying it's okay. And I looked at that person and I said, would you rather save somebody, or would you rather push somebody away? And they said, well, of course, I'd rather save somebody. Okay, if you tell somebody that they're always doing wrong, and they're bad, and they're bad, and they're doing wrong, you're not saving them. You're pushing them away. You need to accept them and introduce them to our Creator and get them to understand the heartbeat that's inside of them, and let them begin to recognize conviction, and let them live in conviction so that they can honor and give back to their Creator as they start receiving blessings, as they start receiving their desires of their heart. All these great signs and wonders and miracles, you know, when God does these wonderful things in our life, because they will happen, trust me, when you begin to seek my God, they will begin to happen as you pray and others pray for you. But now it's our duty to give back. And the only thing that God desires for us to give back is obedience to the conviction. As we begin to be obedient to the conviction, God begins to place new things into your life. And he causes you to walk a different path. And a lot of times he'll divert you from those places of, you know, those abomination of the, you know, of God and those bad things that people might, you know, think that are bad. And so, you know, don't get all worked up if somebody is seeking our Creator and yet they still, you might think that they're doing something wrong in your eyes. It's not us to judge. It's for us to introduce and bring a knowledge to them so that they can have a relationship and see God and be able to learn obedience by the voice of conviction and to be able to follow that voice of conviction to build that relationship. There's a point, as Pastor Tim was saying earlier, he can't go back to the pit. Once his relationship was built and he knew who God was, there's a point where you can't turn from him because you have this reverence fear that he would burn you up like a matchstick. You know, it's like, I can't walk away from him now. He'll burn me. He'll fry me up. And it's funny, too, because it's almost the opposite. I've spoken to people who don't have a relationship, and they still feel the same way. I can't walk into that church. I'll burn up. So it's important to understand that, look, God's not going to burn you up. That's just the bad thoughts of the flesh because, you know, those dark realms, I call it, don't want you to know God. They don't want you to know the relationship because God's conviction is going to kick them out of the house. And they know that. They know that God's conviction is going to eventually kick those dark things out of the house and they'll be homeless. And they don't want to be homeless. So they try to keep you out of this truth. I'm not going to say they try to keep you out of the church. I'm going to say they try to keep you out of this truth. And they try to keep you out of understanding how to really have a relationship with God. And so I encourage those that are listening, hear this message over and over and over again. Understand the purpose of having a relationship with God. It's not about right, wrong, good, or bad. It has everything to do about knowing our Creator and having Him prepare the walk for us so that we can walk on that straight path by understanding conviction. Conviction is the key. That's His hearkened voice. When it tells us to go or stop. And as we begin to yield and obey to that conviction, you know, he has that little voice in your heart, and I call it righteousness, but it's also well done. You did good. You're my servant. You're my son. You're my daughter. And you're accepted in, and you're getting filled with more love. And by getting filled with this love that we're talking about, that gives you the confidence and the identity of knowing who you are. And it's a beautiful thing because then you're not subject to peer pressure. You're not subject to be moved into different gangs that might get you in trouble or what have you. You're set apart. And in Scripture, in the Bible, that book that I hold up every once in a while saying I love this book. This book is the only book that bears witness of what was given to me. In there it says, set yourself apart from the world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and receive the mind of Christ and not the mind that we have already as far as what Tim was explaining earlier. But have that mind of Christ, that heartbeat that we have, that identity that's inside of us, that thing that makes us unique and wonderful and that character that gives us that special, you know, aroma where people would want to be around you. You know, me personally, if I see, you know, a bunch of people that all look alike. I don't know. I fit in. I don't fit in with those people that all look alike. You know, if I see them all wearing black and I got this bright blue shirt on or a bright yellow shirt on and I get into that crowd, I kind of stand out and I look kind of funny. I'd rather be around with somebody who has multiple different colors on and multiple different looks, so then I don't look out. Then I don't stand out so bad. But I believe God just wants us to be unique. He wants us to know who we are. He wants that relationship. And in order to get out of the pit, like Pastor Tim was saying, you got to have a relationship with God. Our God. Not the religious God. Our God. It's a whole different story. This is a movement. I want the world to understand. This is a movement. This movement is happening because we are in the midst of a new age. We are changing the world that we live in right now. And if you can't see it with your eyes, pray that God opens up your eyes to see that the world is changing right before our eyes. And because the world is changing, God is changing with us. And he is bringing this revelation out so that we can be in the world, but not of the world. And so that we can still be a part and be able to bring people into the knowledge, but yet not cause them to run away because we're all dressed in black. God wants us to be one with the world in the sense of, you know, there's another verse, you know, you have to become like them, right? What is it? Yeah, become all things to all men to win them the more. And if, you know, we have this religious cloak on and we're setting ourselves apart, then all we're going to be doing is trying to evangelize people to be just Christians or just Jews or just Muslims. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world doesn't want to turn into all Muslim. The world don't want to turn into all Jews. But the world does want a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to pass this over to Rachel. And she didn't expect this. But I want her just to give us a closing. Because I love my Rachel. And she loves me. And we're not married, by the way. She has a husband named Jim. Who is definitely not me, who makes all this work and allows you to hear this message on the web. Amen? So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the other Jim and Rachel.
So I was listening to what Tim had to say and what Pastor Jim had to say, and it very much reminded me of something my mother used to say on a regular basis. And there's not many things my mother says that I repeat, but my mother was a teacher, and when relating to students, it was very important for her to relate to each student individually wherever they were. And when she explained to me what makes a good teacher in general, it was the ability of that teacher to relate to each student on their own individual basis. And it's exactly the same as what you say, is if you know our God, then you are relating because we've given you the tools to do that relationship on your own. So it's interesting when I look at things of the natural world of my natural mother, and she and I don't see an eye to eye on a lot of things. But on this one point, it's very important to me as another teacher to be able to get to a person wherever they are, wherever they're in, no matter what level of understanding that they're at, and bring them to the next level. So that's an important thing that I get from this place, and I'm glad to pass it on to others as we come in. So on that note, if you're out in the internet land, find us on www.glorytothenations.org, because if you found this video through Facebook and you didn't know where it came from, it's Glory to the Nations with the S at the end, .org. You can find it by following anything in the video. Underneath the video is a link. If you found it through somebody sharing you an audio file, it's the same thing, glorytothenations.org. You can email us, you can Facebook us, you can Twitter us, all of that social media wonderfulness. I get them all, I read them all. Even if it seems like it's in gibberish, it's really not. I have a nice little translation program. It makes it English. Please come out, come join us on a Wednesday night with all your questions at 7:30, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is worship. We love to have you come and sit in the seat, but if you can't be here, we do understand, you know, but you're honestly kind of missing something. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the worship team, because when I walked in here the very first time, it was something about this place, walking in the building. Didn't matter how many people were physically here or not physically here. It was this building with these four walls and this roof that made a difference. And then after that, at 11 o'clock approximately, we do take up an offering and then we deliver a message. And every single time you'll get something. And if you listen to the message only once, you only got one tiny little piece. You need to listen to it more than once. So please come out and join us. Please send us your questions and we'll see you Sunday morning.